From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of a message entitled A Vow Fulfilled, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon from his collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's meditation comes from Psalm 84 and verse 6. Who passing through the valley of Baca makes it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. This teaches us that the comfort obtained by one may often prove serviceable to another, just as wells would be used by the company who came after. We read some book full of consolation, which is like Jonathan's rod dropping with honey. We think our brother has been here before us and digged this well for us as well as for himself. Many a night of weeping, midnight harmonies, eternal day, a crook in the lot, comfort for mourners, has been a well digged by a pilgrim for himself, but has proved quite as useful to others. Especially we notice this in the Psalms, such as that beginning, Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Travelers have been delighted to see the footprint of man on a barren shore, and we love to see the waymarks of pilgrims while passing through this vale of tears. The pilgrims dig the well, but strange enough, it fills from the top instead of the bottom. We use the means, but the blessing does not spring from the means. We dig a well, but heaven fills it with rain. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. The means are connected with the end, but they do not of themselves produce it. See here, the rain fills the pools, so that the wells become useful as reservoirs for the water. Labor is not lost, but yet it does not supersede divine help. Grace may well be compared to rain, for its purity, for its refreshing and vivifying influence, for its coming alone from above, and for the sovereignty with which it is given or withheld. May our listeners have showers of blessing, and may the wells they have digged be filled with water. Oh, what are means and ordinances without the smile of heaven? They are as clouds without rain and pools without water. Oh, God of love, open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing.
For his
Among the great classics of Christian literature, A.W. Tozer's The Pursuit of God is remarkable for its impact on the lives of countless believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The product of a lifelong passion for knowing God in an intimate, soul-refreshing relationship, this small volume exposes the roadblocks that keep us from fully knowing God, reveals our responsibility of the pursuit, and ultimately leads us into the very presence of God Himself. Some of the chapter titles include Following Hard After God, Restoring the Creator-Creature Relation, and The Sacrament of Living. As you read and study Tozer's penetrating insights, you will learn the meaning of Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 10, that I may know Him. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer complete reprints of this timeless devotional help, free of charge. For your copy of The Pursuit of God, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of The Pursuit of God, and we'll be glad to provide it. Joshua chapter 4, verses 12 and 13 records the fulfillment of the vow which the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh had promised to Moses that they would join in the battle for the promised land, although they had their portion on the east side of the Jordan River. In applying this lesson to the Old Testament saints as a whole, Dr. Cairns has explained that they did not enter into the fullness of what God has in store for His church. That fullness remains for the day yet to come when Christ will bring in all of His people. The text reminds us of the warning, should those tribes fail to fulfill their promise, be sure your sin will find you out. It's important to realize that the work of God needs the hearty involvement of all of God's people. Those who withdraw from their responsibilities are a blight to the cause of the gospel. There is a place for every believer in the work, and it's never too late to do something for God. It is time to remember our vows to God and to fulfill them. Now to conclude this message, A Vow Fulfilled, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now I want to be very honest with you. There have been very few churches in history where every Christian in the church has done what he ought to do. In fact, to be honest, I doubt that there's ever been one church in history where every Christian has done what he ought to do. But that's not an excuse for us not doing our duty. And I want to ask you this morning, because it's true in this church, that there are Christians. And I have no doubt that they're Christians. Good people with good hearts, with no evil intention, who can get caught up with things that may appear important, but so caught up with them that they can't do their duty or play their part in the overall work of God. And I tell you, you are a discouragement to yourself. You're a discouragement to your brethren. You're a weakening. Because, as I have indicated, there is a place for you in the work of God. There's a very necessary place for you in the work of God. There's a place for you in the work of God that nobody else in this church can fill. Judges 5 asks the question, "Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleating of the flocks?" This is in time of war. "For the divisions of Reuben there were great searchings of heart." Is that not true that many and many a time when the church gets before God to pray, when all hell is let loose against a praying people and we must do spiritual battle, is it not true that there are great searchings of heart for people who ought to be there laboring and battling and praying through and they're not there? The searching of heart, what has happened to them that they have turned away in the day of battle? Is it not true that in a day when we need every Christian to be a virile, faithful witness for Jesus Christ, and many Christians are so busy at other things that they are not really making any impact by personal witness for Christ? Is it not true that there is a great searching of heart? What has happened to that man? What has happened to that woman? What has got into them? Why are they like, as the psalmist said of Ephraim in Psalm 78 and 9, why are they like Ephraim who, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle? When you withdraw from God's work because you're too busy with the comforts and even with the other important things of life, it's a great discouragement to the rest of God's people. But not only so, the third thing I note is it's a blight on those who withdraw. Numbers 32 verse 23 says, "If you do not fulfill your vow, be sure your sin will find you out." Mark 8:35, a text I read to the young people last Sabbath evening at their singspiration. "Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." Oh, the loss when you turn your back on Christian responsibility. Do you save yourself a lot of trouble? Yep, maybe you do, but you cause yourself a lot more trouble. Can you give good excuses, good reasons? Well, good excuses perhaps, good reasons no. There's never a good reason to disobey God. But listen, there's a place for you that God wants you to fulfill, and it will blight your life if you simply walk away in defiance of the Word of God. I'm talking to you today, if you've really put yourself in the position of being an onlooker at God's work. You've marginalized yourself, to use the modern jargon. You're just a sideline spectator. Christian, it's not the sideline that you need to be on. You need to be right in the thick of God's work. That's the only place for a Christian to be. Now, I don't know what God wants you to do there. He doesn't want everybody to be a foreign missionary. Otherwise, there'd be nobody at home to support them. He doesn't want everybody to be a preacher. He doesn't want everybody to be the one thing. This is what he teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If your whole body were one big nose, you may smell well, but you'll not go far. He doesn't want us all to be the one thing. We're not just to be little clones. We're all doing the one thing. We're not to lose our individuality and our personality and our particular gifts and talents and the ways in which we can serve the Lord. But what we are supposed to do is to bring all those things and put them on the altar for God and say, Lord, wherever you want me, whatever you want me to do, at whatever cost, here am I. Here am I. And can I say this to you? It's never too late to come to that place. It's never too late. I've mentioned to you before that when one of my sisters who professed faith in Jesus Christ was taken very, very seriously ill, she was taken to hospital. They didn't at that time seem to give much hope for her life. I rushed up to Belfast to visit her in the hospital. And when I came home to Joan that night, I told her, I never expect to see her alive again. In the mercy of God, he changed all that and she's still alive. But we were not to know that. And she wasn't to know it either. She honestly thought she was dying. She realized that she had trusted Christ many years before. But she realized that she had, for too long, looked on from the sidelines. And lying there on a bed of death, as it appeared, she cried to God that if God would give her just a few more days, just a little more strength, at least to do something for Him before she would die, to do something for Him. God heard that prayer. And over those next, I'll say, 6 or 7 days, in that hospital, if my memory serves me right, she pointed 5 people to Jesus Christ. The porter, whose job it was to wheel her bed or to wherever she had to get, knelt at that bed to call on Christ to save him. A young woman in that hospital, the daughter of a Roman Catholic solicitor and one of the most Roman Catholic, as an attorney by the way, a solicitor over there in one of the most Roman Catholic towns in Northern Ireland, bowed at that bed to accept Christ as Savior. Never too late in your Christian life to realize, Lord, I have blighted my life. I have blighted myself. I have not served you as I ought to serve you. Take whatever I am. Take whatever I have. If I have a year to live, if I have a month to live, if I have a week to live, take it all. And let me do something for God. Tell me, believer, if you felt you were going out to meet the Lord tomorrow, would you not want to do something for God before you'd meet Him? Oh, what a blight it is when we withdraw from God's work. That leads me to the final observation. It's this, that thus we should remember our vow. We should remember our vows and we should commit ourselves to the work of God, whatever the cost. When we received the Lord Jesus, did we not receive Him as Lord and Master? Did we not vow to follow Him? Then it is time to pay that vow. Did the Lord Jesus not make us a part of the body of His people? Did we not vow that we would fulfill our particular function in that body? Did we come to Christ intending to be functioning Christians? Or did we come to Christ with no intention at all of serving Him? I believe you can't be saved unless you come to Christ with a desire truly to function as a Christian. Did we not commit ourselves to spiritual warfare for the cause of Christ? How then can we opt out of the battle? Can we pursue our own earthly interests to the detriment of the cause of Christ? Must not our constant effort be toward the extension of His kingdom, the establishment of His kingdom, and the defeat of His enemies? Solomon says, it is better not to vow at all than to vow not to pay. Some of us here this morning are in deep arrears in paying our vows. Some of us are running deep in the red when it comes to paying our vows before God. Men and women, it is time, as with the 2.5 tribes, to make a hearty commitment to our God and our Savior. Their example tells us not to drag our feet in doing God's will. It's time for you and me to be bold and forward in Christian obedience and service. I leave you with the words of the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, and let me emphasize that, as I have preached this morning, I have preached to you from my heart, I'm not on a mission to castigate and simply to lash and whip God's people. There are enough people doing that. Paul appealed out of love, my beloved brethren. If I cared nothing for your life as a Christian, I wouldn't bother to preach this. If I cared nothing for what you can do in the work of God, I wouldn't preach this. With Paul I say, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Be ye unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paying our vows, doing our duty, fulfilling our responsibility. That's what we learn from the armies of the 2.5 tribes leading the way into Canaan. May we learn it well. And getting our eyes on Christ, getting our eyes on Christ out of love for Him, may we, by the grace of God, do our part in the work of the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.